The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How will we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in the name of the Father, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, I'll look over the monitor here and see if we got any of the kids that want to participate in the children's sermon. I'm going to switch my view real quick. Pardon me. To gallery view. There's some. I see ya. There's Michaela and River. Oh, there's Abby. Awesome. All right. So I'm going to show you guys a picture, and I want you to see if you find this guy familiar. Okay. Bob, can you put that up? Does that guy look familiar at all? Maybe, maybe not. But let me do this. Does this help out in any way? Does this give you a hint?
Pastor Andy.
There you go. You're right. How did you know that was me?
How do you know? Does it look like him?
Because you look like it?
Because it doesn't look like me now, right? But it kind of looks like me, right? That older picture looked familiar. You know, Jesus is telling us a good message today that even though we might not recognize Jesus right away, there's something familiar about special people or people who make us, who do certain things for us, like our moms, that we can recognize Jesus in them. They might not look the same all the time. Of course they don't. Moms are different than Jesus, right? But the things that they do are familiar. Because our parents, our loving mothers, they give us what we need. And Jesus gives us what we need. Jesus reminds us that we are to love other people and be nice and be kind. So the familiarity between Jesus and those who do nice, loving, kind things is there, and we can recognize Jesus, even though they may not look the same all the time, but they look familiar. They remind us of what it is to be good to one another and to love one another, right? So let's pray. Good and gracious God, you are awesome and we love you. We thank you for the wonderful things that you do, the way that you love us. We ask you to help us to love others in the same manner, in the same ways. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator, our Mothering God, to you this special day. Amen. So, I can't get the song out of my mind after reading this passage. It was sung by Simply Red, R-E-D. Featured a soulful voice from a pale-complected redhead named Michael James Hucknall. And this pop group, R&B group from the late 80s, he re-released a song from an R&B group called Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, which featured Teddy Pendergrass. You might be thinking now what song I'm talking about. It goes something like this. Excuse the voice. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. Ooh. And some people think that that's tied into this song. I mean, not think, but if you don't know me by now, you'll never, never know. Some people think that's it. And only if you read this scripture simply, you might agree with it, but only if you simply read it that way. So along with the favorite songs of mine, I was in my late teens, early 20s, and it reminded me of how Jesus is talking with his disciples. But only if it is simply read do you get the never, 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 ever part. So let's dive into it a little bit deeper. And we can start with the very first verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Simply read, this seems exceedingly difficult right now. And we would all say that we believe in God and believe in Jesus. But right now our hearts are full of trouble. And at times it's rather difficult to even get our hearts rid of that trouble. So once again, let's read deeper by going into the context of why Jesus is saying this. A few verses prior, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, setting an example that the master is no greater than the servant, and the servant is no greater than the master, that we should wash one another's feet because those who do are blessed. Now, that's kind of troubling for the disciples because they never heard anything like that before. Then Jesus announced someone will betray them. Again, troubling. What's Judas doing? What's he even thinking? Then Jesus gives them a new commandment. He tells them he will not be with them for very much longer. Then he says, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Maybe not so troubling there until you think about everyone that you need to love. Not just the easy ones, the ones you wish to love. But now you need to love everyone, the ones that aren't so easy to love. That gets troubling sometimes. Then Jesus declares Peter's denial over before the cock crows. Three times, not once, but three times, he will deny his teacher, his Lord. Troubling, right? No doubt about it. The rock on which Jesus will build his church is now going to deny him altogether. I would say the disciples were troubled at this time, knowing that these things were to come, not even sure what was in their near future. Yet Jesus, in understanding the disciples' troubledness, he reminds them of the relationship they have and will continue to have with God through Jesus Christ. As we find our hearts troubled, just as the disciples did, throughout this passage, Jesus affirms the relationship they have with God and points out that they have seen God and know God through him. We also can see God and we know God today through creation and the body of Christ. Frederick Buechner was a theologian, American writer, a preacher. In his sermon, Secrets in the Dark, he closes by saying this: by believing against all odds and loving against all odds, that is how we are to let Jesus show in the world and to transform the world. So when we simply read, when Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places, our minds, at least my mind, goes to a destination, a geographical place. After all, he's talking about preparing it and coming back and taking us with them, with him, to be with him. But what is it that we tell our children about where Jesus lives? Bob, will you cue up those other pictures? We teach them that Jesus is in our hearts and he is with us everywhere. So this Wednesday, I asked the kids to draw what God's house looked like. And these are the drawings that we see. It's a house up in heaven. We got the sun. We got trees. Go to the next one. We have another one here. Many windows showing many rooms, but the sign or the banner, I love you, across it, up in the sky. And then the next one. I love this one. I believe it was Michaela's. I love them all. But this one really shows that God's house is the world, right? That God is everywhere. Maybe it's not about being in a room after we die, as we go to heaven for all eternity. Rather, it's about Jesus showing us the relationship is real right now in many dwelling places throughout our creation, throughout God's creation. Now, Jesus is challenged in communicating this relationship where God will show up in real time in our reality, and they're not quite getting that yet. So the disciples' challenge is to comprehend this relationship prior to Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. So in that challenge, Thomas asks, how can we know the way? And Jesus responds, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which in itself sounds exclusive. But remember, it's all about the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This Jesus who sets the example of love and service. This Jesus who washes his disciples' feet and then asks them to do the same to each other. This Jesus who gives us the new commandment to love one another as he loves us. This Jesus who forgives us when betrayed and denied. This Jesus who on the cross prays and asks God to forgive those who persecute him and kill him. Jesus tells Thomas, if you know me, you will know the Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him, which is key. It's a big deal at this point. If it's not simply read, if we read into it more, we know in John 1, verse 18, it says, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. And in John 6, 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. he has seen the Father. The only one until this point who was able to see God was Jesus. And now in this communication, in Jesus' proclamation of I am the way and the truth and the life, he is giving us the ability and the relationship to God to see God. Now Jesus is building upon this relationship with all people by communicating. They are now able to see God, something only Jesus was capable of prior to this point. This relational gift is now shared with all people. It is inclusive. Seeing Jesus, knowing Jesus, believing Jesus is now the way to God. A relationship with God is not exclusive. Rather, he is the way this relationship will open and be sustained even after he is no longer physically present in this world. This is what Jesus has done for us. So when we feel troubled, like Philip, and wish to be shown God, to be satisfied, believe that Jesus is in God and God is in Jesus and actually the body of Christ. And if you do not believe, then believe because of the works themselves, we are told. Simply read this whole section where Jesus is talking about the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, seems to be crazy, right? No one here alive can do the miracles that Jesus did. Yet if we look deeper, the disciples in the book of Acts, after the death and resurrection and ascension of our Savior, they healed and brought people back to life. Paul, during a very long sermon, put one guy to sleep, and he happened to be leaning up against a window, and as he fell asleep, he fell three stories to his death. And Paul went to him and healed him and got back up and kept on preaching. That might be a little excessive, and you're probably thinking right now, yes, Pastor, it's getting a little long. I hear you. But wouldn't you agree that doctors these days are doing things that are miraculous? And they are. People no longer die of simple diseases. People simply don't die of minor injuries or infections. We have this relationship with God, and God blesses doctors through knowledge that help us heal. We are all in our homes at this very moment listening to the same word of God. That 100 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, would not even been thought of. But now it's happening in real time, together. That's part of greater works. All the technologies that our children have at this point and the edge that it gives them learning about new things and about our world into the future is incredible. And it's not just about what we know, but it's also about who we are and what we do. As we find ways to love one another, we see God in one another. And as we find ways to love one another, we find the way to God. As we forgive one another, we find the truth of God. And when we serve one another, we find the life of God. These are greater things. You know, simply read the pop group had a great song in the 80s, but the words weren't quite right for our scripture today. So hear this modification. If you don't know me by now, I will always be there to show you. Ooh, all the things that we've been through. You should have understand me like I understand you. Now, Philip, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to upset our happy home. Oh, don't get a little excited when I come home and tell you I am the way. 'Cause we only act like children when we argue about what I say. If you don't know me by now, I will always be there to show you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. God is there through this relationship we have in Jesus Christ. Now, if the soul singing wasn't up to par, I know it's not. And if it's not your thing, I totally get that too. So let me offer this as we end this long sermon. Get comfortable in your seat. And I want to ask you to breathe with me, to inhale and exhale. And as you inhale, I want you to hear the words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And then as you exhale, believe in me. Take that back. Believe in God. Also believe in me. So let's try it. Ready? Inhale. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And exhale. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If you find yourself getting a little lost, or your hearts are being troubled, breathe. The relationship with you and God is there through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sit for a moment. Breathe deeply. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And exhale. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Amen.